We're at the midway point in January, and it's time to ask, how are you doing with those New Year's resolutions? If you're finding it difficult to stick with it, you're not alone. The conventional wisdom is that when we make New Year's resolutions, we should make small ones in order to achieve our goals, get some wins in the books there. But our next guest says people should actually make big changes and do it all at once. Christopher Wharton is with us now. He's an associate professor in the Arizona State University College of Health Solutions. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, Chris, I definitely am of that mindset that says pick something small. Like mine was get my new calendar up before the end of January. Nailed it. But you say we should be thinking bigger. Why is that?
Yeah, and it's not that, you know, a baby steps approach is necessarily wrong, but we do find that a lot of people who try to make small changes, you know, one thing at a time, make that attempt and perhaps succeed at it for a while, but oftentimes find themselves failing at that small change approach. And so one thing that I've been thinking a lot about is, why is it that we make that recommendation? And it's probably because, you know, a lot of behavior change researchers like myself, we tend to conduct science in that reductionist way. We're looking for, you know, mechanisms of action we can prove to be effective. So we do interventions where we make small changes for people and see how that works. And so we end up going out to the public and saying, this is the approach you should take. But what's interesting is there's been some recent research to suggest that we have much greater capacity for more sort of larger changes and even multiple changes at once than maybe we give ourselves credit for. There was a study conducted about a year ago where people were put into a really intensive behavior change intervention where they didn't just change one small thing, like say just a diet, but they changed their diet, their physical activity, their sleeping behaviors, their stress management, even the way they managed healthy relationships. And what those researchers found were dramatic positive changes both in physical and mental health. So it may be the case that our capacity for change is really great, and as such, we might have an opportunity for much bigger changes than we normally think we could pull off.
And reading some of what you've written about this, Chris, it sounds like if we're making those little changes, we might be dealing with, in a way, a symptom, whereas if we tackle the big stuff, we're going to dig down into what's causing the behaviors we don't like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When you think about making small changes, you know, and the ways that people fail at this, because unfortunately, a lot of people fail at whether it's New Year's resolutions, you know, taking on new diets, trying to join a gym. Why do we fail at those small behavior changes? If you think about it from sort of a systems perspective, sort of a lifestyle-wide perspective, you make this change, but you do it in a context, a social context, an environmental context that's built still to support the behaviors you used to engage in, not the new one that you're trying to achieve. So making the small change, you're almost setting yourself up for a big fight against what is already built to sort of fight against you. It may be the case that if we reorient really how we live in that context, we might give ourselves a better chance. And reorienting ourselves probably means that we think more about how we behave in multiple different ways, not just a single way. And so when I mention that environment, really what I'm talking about is really an environment of normalized excess. You know, and when we think about like health behaviors, that's an area that a lot of people like to focus on when it comes to New Year's resolutions. The environment that we're operating in is one that we see as normal because everybody eats similar foods, mainly for convenience. Everybody tends to drive wherever they need to go, whether it's a quarter mile or even 40 miles. We all tend to passively entertain ourselves. You know, I was listening to your guest on the previous segment. We tend to watch a lot of TV. We have a lot of screen time. All of that feels normal. But it's not that it's, you know, it's just that sort of normalized, but still it could be incredibly excessive. So, for example, Americans actually on average watch about 5 hours of television a day. And we actually spend more time in our cars than we do outside. And these are things, when you hear it that way, it's actually sort of shocking. But this is what we've normalized into our lives. And, of course, those are examples of sedentary behavior, which we know to be very bad for health. So it's really about thinking about our whole context and thinking, you know, what do I need to do to actually shift all of my behaviors in this context that sets me up to be usually unhealthy and perhaps unhappy and stressed, as your last segment was describing, oftentimes financially strapped and even impacting the environment in very negative ways.
Talking to Christopher Wharton from Arizona State University, he's talking about how we can make changes in ourselves, whether that's a New Year's resolution or any time of year. He says Don't go small. Go big and find out some fundamental ways to accomplish what you want to change in your life. Let's take an example, Chris. I think a lot of people generally think, oh, I want to try to get more exercise. I want to exercise more. I can't find the time to do it. I don't know how to fit it into my life. And then eventually that just kind of withers away. What would be another way to think about that?
Yeah, that's a great example, because oftentimes, you know, one of the first things we think of is, let's go join a gym. You know, I haven't given myself the time to be physically active, so I'll go join a gym, and I'm going to force fit that extra 30, 45 minutes or an hour into my day, and that's going to work. And of course, for a lot of people, unfortunately, that doesn't work. And so rather than thinking about it that way, we might think about attacking, again, these behaviors that we see as normal, but maybe actually be very excessive. So the opposite of physical activity is sedentary behavior, or not moving, and some of the key drivers I've just mentioned. So TV watching is a really good example of this. Now, if we watch on average 5 hours of television a day, what we know about that actually from really good epidemiological work, controlling for other health behaviors, every hour increase in TV watching increases our risk for cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular disease-related death significantly. So removing or eliminating some TV time, reducing screen time, does multiple things at once. First of all, it eliminates some sedentary behavior that we know is bad for health. But then it opens up time. And this is where I get into the notion of multiple behavior changes all at once. If we removed or even eliminated TV-related time, what could you do with those extra hours? You might decide it could just be an extra conversation with your kids and your family, when we know, of course, social interaction is actually going down over time, but it's really important for health. It could also mean that you have time to go for a walk or a run. It could actually mean that you prep a dinner at home or maybe a healthy lunch for the next day at work. These are things that, you know, lack of time is one of the excuses we give ourselves for not engaging in healthier behaviors. But just ditching a TV or reducing screen time actually could have a sort of a cascading effect, where you could then engage in lots of different healthy behaviors all at once that start to support each other in a broader based sort of lifestyle change.
Seems like one of the parts of this is taking a look at that, say, screen time, the time we spend on TV, and thinking, was it fulfilling? Was 5 hours twice as good as 2.5 hours of TV? Like, was that time well spent? Is that part of the equation?
Yeah. And oftentimes when I talk about this, because it can feel very counterintuitive, right? The idea of changing lots of things in big ways seems very scary. And so why would we attempt to do this instead of doing small things? If you back it up, you know, the question you just asked is really something about values. And this is an approach to behavior change we don't often think of at the outset, but is really fundamentally, I think, important. And so it's really about, you know, how do we spend our time, and actually, how do we spend our money on our behaviors, the things we engage in day in and day out? And we usually do that passively. Again, we just sort of glom onto whatever the social norms are for those things. But if we step back and thought about what we really value, and then we looked at how we allocate our time and maybe even money in our budget to our behaviors, expending those precious resources of value, or I'm sorry, of time and money, do they actually reflect our values? We might find that, in fact, that's not the case, that, you know, we'd much more, you know, much rather value spending time with people and taking walks with people than watching multiple hours of TV, but maybe we're doing the reverse. So if we think about our values, which of course don't adhere to just one behavior, but multiple behaviors at once, that may give us a platform for an easier approach to multiple behavior changes that can elicit improvements in health and happiness, financial security, and even environmental sustainability in some cases.
Well, it sounds like we need to get a little philosophical here then, Chris, and ask ourselves, what do we value? What is good in life? How do we sit down and come up with, I don't know, a mission statement that tells us how we want to spend our time?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I've written a little bit about this. It sounds kind of cheesy, but you could even approach this from a strategic planning perspective. So, you know, when we engage in projects we think are important, usually we try to plan them out, of course. Well, what project could be more important to us than how we live our lives, right? So one thing we can actually do is sit down and literally think through a strategic plan for your life. And you might start out by envisioning what it is you're trying to do in your life. What do you want to accomplish? And from there, you could think about, okay, so what are the goals I'd like to meet in order to work towards that vision? And what are the values that, you know, would support those goals? And you could literally go through essentially creating a vision statement for yourself and creating a strategic plan. And that might begin to identify specifically for yourself and for your own situation the strategies, the opportunities you have to make changes that could better reflect your values, your interests, and that probably more naturally will lead to healthier outcomes, happier outcomes, and the like.
All right, Chris, we do this. We know the things we want to do, but there's a lot of good TV out there. How do we make sure that, you know, if there's something that we do like about that, that it can be part of our lives but not take over all that time we want to crack out of it?
Yeah, so I have some radical recommendations when it comes to this. First things first, let's talk about dealing with TV. So 96% of American households own a TV. A large percentage of those actually own 3 or 4 or more TVs within a single household. So it infuses our life, right? It feels like we can't, and your previous segment referred to this too, it feels like we can't really get away from, you know, these outlets of information. One of the ways to go about this, and I often refer to, you know, there's this idea of behavioral change called nudging, where we try to subtly move people in a certain direction. This would be my idea of shoving, which is to radically change your environment so that you can much more easily control those inputs. So I would recommend, for example, ditching your TVs entirely, literally cutting off cable, getting the screens out of your home. Now, that doesn't mean you can't engage in the things that you enjoy, right? So most people have multiple different devices in their house. They have phones, they have, you know, tablets, they have computers, and probably also TVs. But usually it's the TV around which we orient our whole lives. If you look at a standard living room, you know, couches are arranged around this thing. But if the TV is gone, that becomes an environment where the default is not to passively sit and watch TV. Instead, you have to sort of actively engage, and that might mean you start using subscriptions on your computer to watch certain television shows. And you have to be much more active about choosing the content that you want to engage in that way, rather than just popping the TV on and flipping around. And so that would give you a lot more control and probably, as a result, naturally minimize the amount of screen time you might be engaging in.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today. A lot of good food for thought.
Well, thank you so much.
That's Christopher Wharton, associate professor in the Arizona State University College of Health Solutions. He made the case for making big changes instead of small ones when we make New Year's resolutions or just want to change our lives in general.